Welcome, everybody, to the workshop on reducing stress, worry, and depression, a Torah approach to emotional wellness. We have with us Harvard psychologist Dr. David Rosmarin. Dr. Rosmarin, PhD, is an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and a board-certified clinical psychologist. He also directs the Center for Anxiety, which has offices in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Rockland County, and Boston. Dr. Rosmarin, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks very much for having me. And thank you all for joining this this workshop. This is the first day of 16 times that we're going to be meeting over the next couple months. And I'm very excited to be doing this workshop again. I've done it a couple of times live, actually, with people in the New York area in my New York office at the Center for Anxiety. But the first time we're doing it by phone, and I think it will go pretty well. I'm very excited to work with you. And two preliminary points, before we get started. First is that I assume that everyone who's on the line has heard the introduction. If you haven't, then no problem. You can stay on the line today, but please hear the introduction as soon as possible thereafter. The reason why is because it'll introduce you, well, as you would expect from an introduction, to what this workshop is and what it isn't. And I hope that you'll find it interesting. We will review some of the things we talked about in the introduction today, but nevertheless, it's important that people have it. So that's the first point of introduction. The second preliminary point is about handouts. There are some handouts that I have created for this program. There are, David, we're okay? I heard a noise.
Yes, we're good.
We're good? Okay, bye. So the second point that I was making was that there are handouts. There are actual PDF files that go along with the seminar. Session by session. There are actually two handouts for the introduction, which David will get out to you by email or otherwise. So I assume everybody here has the ability to get in touch with David Greenberg about that. The other handouts for today will also be disseminated, and then week by week, or rather seminar by seminar, whenever we meet, which hopefully will be on a regular weekly basis with a couple of exceptions, those handouts will also be provided to you, ideally in advance, but if you get them right afterwards, then I guess that's also okay. All right, so just to give a bit of an overview of the workshop, once again, taking from the introduction, this is about connection. And it's about connection in three domains, between us and ourselves, body and soul, or inner connection. It's about connection with us and other people, building interpersonal connection, thriving, healthy, wonderful, close relationships. And finally, about having a relationship with God, having a spiritual connection in order to have a thriving emotional existence. That's what this is about. And this first segment, not just today, but the next today and then the following four, so a total of five seminar meetings that we'll have, is the first module, which is going to focus on interconnection. That's really going to be our focus for the next five meetings, including today. Since it's the beginning of a new section, we'll do this at the beginning of the interpersonal connection section, and then again at the spiritual connection section, the beginning, I want to go over very briefly, well, somewhat briefly, the spiritual paradigm, which is at the core of this whole program. And that's the paradigm of the worlds of connection and disconnection, which I spoke about at the introduction. And the paradigm comes from the writings of Rav Shlomo Volbe. And I'm just going to summarize it for us the way I did, similar to the way I did during the introduction. Okay. Summary is as follows. Point number one. At any point in time, at any moment in time, human beings dwell in one of two worlds. We are either in the world of connection or the world of disconnection. we will see over the course of this program, whether it's interconnection or interpersonal connection or spiritual connection, that you can't dwell in both worlds. It's really binary. We're either a zero or a one at any moment in time. Now, people go in and out of these worlds second by second, millisecond by millisecond, in fact. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, it's a sum of either zeros or ones. It's not that people can dwell in both. And we'll see why that is as we go through. But the bottom line here is that there are two worlds that we can choose to live in, the world of connection or the world of disconnection. That's point number one. Point number two, what is connection? Connection involves a coming together of opposite entities, two opposite entities specifically, and that occurs in three domains, as we spoke about a minute ago. There's the body and the soul. We'll talk about this today. They are two separate and disparate and opposite entities. And the body and soul can get together, and the person can live with interconnection, or the body and soul can live apart from each other and can live their own existences. And we'll speak more about that again today. Then, at the level of interpersonal connection, there's us and others, and we can choose to live a life of connection with other people, and we will describe what that is in a series of five seminar meetings, which is the next segment, section two or module two of this program. And then there's us and God, separate entities that can come together and live an intimate, selfless life for each other, or there's the world of disconnection, which is a separation and estrangement of these entities in which they live only for themselves and not for the other. Point number three, in each domain of connection, you have a giver and you have a receiver. This is the hardest concept of all to understand, but we'll get through it. Connection occurs when one of those entities provides for the other, and that other entity accepts the gifts. That sounds abstract, but we'll talk about it today with body and soul a little bit. That the body needs a lot. It has physical needs. Believe it or not, it has spiritual needs. And the soul has a lot to give. And the best, what it means to live in the world of connection is when the soul takes care of the body and the body receives gifts. When it comes to us and others, a similar dynamic can occur. It's a little bit more complicated there because sometimes people are givers and sometimes they're receivers in their relationships, but nevertheless. And then with us and God, there's a similar thing where we are receiving from God and God is providing to us and we're allowing that flow to occur. There are also some aspects of, if you will, quote-unquote, giving back to God. That's a complicated concept, and we'll get into that in the spiritual connections segment of this workshop. But nevertheless, for now, we have giving and we have receiving, and that is the process by which connection occurs in all three domains. The fourth point about the paradigm is that they are hierarchical. These are hierarchical levels. A relationship with God is at the top, and that's constrained by our relationship with others. There are many people who go around thinking that they can treat others badly and have a close relationship with God. And according to the connections paradigm, that's just not possible. What typically happens is they have spiritual connection for about a month, and it all comes to a crash. And then they end up in my office, by the way. Another thing is that our relationship with others is constrained by our ability to have a relationship with ourselves. This also happens, and then when this comes into my office, it's even more serious, where people are building relationships with other people, but it's not on a firm foundation of inner connection. Their body and their soul don't get along. They don't know each other. They don't treat each other well. The soul doesn't give to the body. The body certainly doesn't receive. And their interconnection is shaky. It's shaky. And building a relationship with others on that foundation, well, it's a time bomb. It really is just a matter of time before the roof caves in or the floor caves in. So these areas are hierarchical, where we have at the bottom a relationship with ourselves, in the middle a relationship with others, and on the top a relationship with God. And the most firm base is where we have a strong relationship with ourselves, which is why we're starting off with inner connection. the fifth point in the paradigm is that according to the connections paradigm, and this is somewhat radical, at least it was the first time I heard it, now at this point it makes a lot of sense to me, connection is the key to emotional wellness. We can only have anxiety and depression and other things as well when we're in a state of connection. In fact, anxiety and depression are manifestations of disconnection. They're manifestations of disconnection, according to the paradigm. When we're in a state of connection, if we have healthy, thriving relationships between ourselves, body and soul, with other human beings and with God, then we're protected and we're able to go through, even in this extremely anxious period of time, we can live an emotionally well life and a thriving life. And it can be fun. Like, life can be fun, but it's all about building connection. That's what the whole goal is. I said it during the intro, but it's worth saying again. Another name for the worlds of connection and disconnection, another name for this paradigm, Revolta writes about this, he calls it the worlds of love and fear. It was very interesting that the opposite of fear is not calm. The opposite of fear is love. And when people are in love, when people have an sense of inner love, love for others, and love with God, they are at peace. That is the goal. And the goal of this program, the seminar, is to help all of us, myself included, to develop concrete skills and to practice concrete skills to facilitate and to maintain connection in those three domains, inner connection, interpersonal connection, and spiritual connection. Okay. Let's introduce the concept of inner connection, intrapersonal connection, body and soul. Now, the three domains, I mentioned this before, intrapersonal or inner connection is the hardest to describe, but it's the most fundamental. That's what I mentioned previously. You can only have interpersonal and spiritual connection to the extent that we have inner connection. So that's why, we're going to work on it at first. According to the connections paradigm, human beings are comprised of two contrasting and complementary opposite entities. We have a body and we have a soul. And that's not just a cute idea. There's the great Kabbalist, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, and he explained that this is not a metaphor. This is literal. I wonder this. I don't have a source for it, but I wonder. There's a Jewish custom, but when you say hello to people, you say Shalom Aleichem. Now, for anybody who knows Hebrew, Aleichem is not singular. It would be Alecha, Shalom Alecha, Shalom to you. Shalom Aleichem is plural. Aleichem is plural, which means that you're really saying hello to yous. So why would I say hello to yous when I say hi to my friend who's one person? It could be that the answer is that there's more than one of them. There's a body and a soul. There's a more explicit source of this. In practice, there are many Kabbalists, I haven't met too many, but a couple I have, who say Shalom, Shalom. And once I had the gall to ask one of them, are you saying hello to my body and my soul? And I got a very knowing smile. But bottom line is that when you look in the mirror, you might only see your body, but there are two of you. There's a soul behind those eyes. And let's compare and contrast these two beings. Because everybody on this line, David, I don't know how many people are on the line. I think you said it was like 90 or 100. Did you know that it's really 200 or 180? Because each person represents two. That's how many beings are on the call right now. Okay, so let's compare and let's contrast these two beings. First, how are they different? Okay, so the body is composed of physical matter. In biology, we call these cells. In chemistry, we call them atoms. In physics, it's all sorts of other complicated stuff that I don't understand. But the bottom line is it's physical. The soul, though, is comprised of something which is spiritual. I don't know what that spiritual fabric is, but I know that it's not physical. I understand, based on what I've learned from my religious mentors who taught me this paradigm, that it can't be seen, it can't be touched, it can't be measured. So even in an fMRI machine, you wouldn't be able to see the soul, but what you can see, and you don't need an fMRI machine for this, is the effects of the soul. You can see the soul's decisions, you can see the soul's actions, you can experience them, and you can you can experience them. They are part of the human experience, and we'll talk about what that is. Another contrast, the body has a short-term perspective. Rabbi Kellerman, when I was learning about the paradigm with him, he said that the body has the maturity of a 3 or a 5-year-old child, somewhere between 3 and 5 years old. And he wasn't talking about kids. He was talking about adults. Grown adults, they have a body which has the maturity of a 3 to 5-year-old child. The body, for all of us, no matter how mature you are, is unwilling to put off short-term pain for long-term gain. It's impressed by size. It's impressed by numbers. If you ask a child to compare two things, one looks bigger than the other, they're going to say, oh, that one's better, typically. Or they're impressed more by size than by quality. They're impressed by quantity. The soul, though, is very different. It's very different. It has a long-term perspective, and it's willing to hold off on immediate gratification for the sake of a long-term goal. In clinical science, we call that response inhibition, where a person is, it was popularized by the marshmallow test. I don't know if you know about this. It's a psychologist who would put one marshmallow in front of a child and say, if you don't eat this for 15 minutes, I'll give you 2 marshmallows. And then could actually predict with fairly high degree of probability 20 years down the line, which of the kids who took 1 versus 2 marshmallows ended up with criminal records, ended up with heart problems, ended up with health problems, ended up with relationship difficulties. Kind of interesting. But anyhow, that's the soul. The soul has a long-term perspective. It can hold off on that immediate gratification in order to get something down the road. And that might be because it's not physical. So it doesn't really care about short-term rewards, which tend to be physical. The soul is also very idealistic. It wants quality, not quantity. It wants things to be perfect. It has a vision for the world that should be better. It should be a better place. The soul is more self-focused. Now, these are two really different entities, the way that I've described them. And in fact, they're so different, it begs the question, like, why, what was God thinking when, you know, at the time of creation, by bringing these two entities together? Body and soul should live as one. Why would that be? And the connections paradigm answers that question. We'll see this with interpersonal connection and with spiritual connection also, that what makes them complementary, what makes them such great partners, is the fact that they contrast with each other. The best partners are not similar. Some similarities help day to day, but it's that contrast that calls for connection and facilitates connection, because they're different, so they can get out of their own world. They can think about the other. They can become selfless. They can become altruistic in many ways. They can do something and offer to the other person, the other being, something unique. My soul can give my body something that my body would never have on its own. And my body gives my soul opportunities to give in a way that my soul would never dream of because it's not physical. We would never be able to have this level of connection if our body and soul weren't completely and utterly opposite and different from each other. And this plays out again in interpersonal connection and also in spiritual connection. This is a general concept that we'll come back to. Okay, but with that said, they are somewhat similar. Firstly, they exist for the same purpose. Body and soul were put on this earth, so says the paradigm, to get close and stay close, to have intimacy, love, and connection. These are their operating instructions in the world. That's literally is a quote from Rabbi Kellerman. These are their operating instructions in the world. They've come to this world to have love, intimacy, and connection, starting with each other, then pouring that into others, and then, as a group, pouring that into our relationship with God, as we'll see. And what all this means is that both body and soul have to learn to be completely devoted and dedicated to each other. It all starts right here, and I'm pointing to my chest. The way to do this is by focusing on the other. The soul, its goal, its role, pardon the rhyming, is to identify and to provide for the body's needs. And the body is here to consider the soul's directives in its daily affairs and to accept that. And to provide the body has a role of providing the soul with information, key information that the soul otherwise wouldn't have, in order that it can provide a spiritual guide for this world, which is accurate. We'll talk about these concepts more. A couple points here. Many times the soul doesn't want to take care of the body. This can happen for a couple reasons. One, it might consider that the body's needs are superfluous. It might see the body's needs as childish. It might see that the body just wants to do its own thing and it's not worth the soul's time or effort. It might give up on the body and say, oh, there's no point in having a discussion about this. It's just going to do what it wants anyway. And the body can also disconnect. The body can just, sometimes it does just do its own thing and it doesn't consider the soul. Sometimes it doesn't speak to the soul. I had a really interesting case recently in my private practice. Really fascinating, sad, severely depressed young lady who simply is not aware when she has major triggers in her life that make her very depressed. And what I mean by not aware, it's not that her body isn't aware. It's that her body has given up on communicating her needs to her soul because she doesn't feel like her soul is ever going to take care of her. And she's somewhat right because her body has not been taken care of by her soul. Her soul doesn't check in with her and say, hey, sweetie, what can I do for you? You seem kind of tired. Are you hungry? You know, are you upset about something? Is there anything that I can do for you? You know, I love you and I care about you. And when you have a need, I want you to tell me. She would never say that to herself. Her soul would never say that to her body. They don't get along. And her body knows it. Her body knows that her soul doesn't really care and just wants an easy, compliant child of a body. And she's never going to get that because her body has needs. Thank God her body has needs because really it's an opportunity for her soul to give to her, but she's not taking that opportunity. So her body goes into a state of despair and doesn't provide information about what's going on to her soul. And that's not the ideal at all. The goal, rather, is to love each other, to consider and care for the other, to create a relationship, to use language which cultivates connection, and to develop a thriving marriage right inside of ourselves. Another way that they're similar is that in creating this rich relationship with each other, both entities can bring out their unique potential and greatness. Neither the soul nor the body is inherently connected from the start of life. It's a misnomer, according to my understanding of this paradigm, and frankly, from what I've seen in clinical work, it's quite clear that the soul is inherently connected from the start of life. That is not true. Neither the soul nor the body has fulfilled its potential from the beginning of life. And by the way, it's an obvious thing, because if the soul had fulfilled its potential, why would it come here? Why would it have to be here? What's its purpose? So obviously it has a job to do. But the body and the soul, both of them might engage in disconnection. I alluded to this before. The soul is not necessarily always connected, and the body is not always necessarily disconnected. Sometimes the body is ready and willing to accept orders, and the soul is just not providing for them. Sometimes the body wants to reach out, and the soul is not listening, or it's distracted, or it's giving the body advice that would be appropriate for another person, because it's not looking at the body, it's looking at their neighbor. All of those are ways that the soul can disconnect. The body can disconnect in more classic ways, such as not listening, but also not providing information, as I mentioned before. Okay, let's talk about what intrapersonal or interconnection looks like. What role does the soul play? What role does the body play? And how do they bring out their connection and their potential and connect to each other? Okay, so this is going to become more apparent over the coming month as we work together, but I want to paint a little bit of a picture now. Now, in a nutshell, interconnection is about fostering a relationship between body and soul that mirrors that of a teacher and a student. The teacher is the soul, and the body is the student. The body is receiving the soul's gifts of knowledge, wisdom, but also other things, and the soul is providing those as a loving, caring teacher. And I don't just mean a teacher at the front of a classroom who stands there with a ruler and a piece of chalk. I mean a mentor or a coach, somebody who really cares about you and is behind you 100% of the way. So from the soul's perspective, that means that the soul assumes the role of a teacher. It has to do two things at least, providing for all of the body's needs, all of them, and tolerating the body's idiosyncrasies and shortcomings with love and patience. Again, the soul has to do two primary things, and we're going to have an individual seminar on each of these topics. A whole hour on providing for the body's needs, all of the body's needs, and a whole hour on tolerating the body's idiosyncrasies with love and patience. In other words, one, it has to recognize that it has a body and that it has many needs, and we have to take care of those needs. Our soul has to take care of our body's needs. And two, we have to accept that the body is far from perfect. And we have to be gentle and gently encourage it to grow, to be warm, positive, kind, and upbeat. Like I said, think of a coach. It's holding the body accountable, but with warmth, love, kindness, and the like. The soul has to feed the body, literally, make sure it gets enough adequate food and sleep and rest, recreation, and take it out for physical exercise, and it's a fair amount of it if you actually look at the data, which we will. It has to create realistic and engaging schedule for the body. It has to have realistic and engaging expectations. And when the body doesn't adhere to the schedule, because apparently it's not as realistic as the soul initially thought, the soul has to be kind and loving and forgiving and kind and supportive. When the body has a crisis or a setback, the soul needs to help it consider all the relevant issues, come up with a plan, and gently and kindly and effectively encourage it to follow through, even though it's difficult, and to get out of a mess. The soul needs to be calm. It needs to be a professional. It has to be intentional, careful, deliberate, planned. And when it ignores the body's problems or it minimizes them, well, then you end up in my office. Finally, the soul has to accept when the body falls short. It can't be critical or overbearing or even disappointed, because there's nothing to be disappointed in. If the soul's only role in life is just to give to the body, then if the body doesn't come through, what does it make a difference? I just wanted to give anyway, so why would I be upset? Here's great, it's just a more of an opportunity for me to give if my body falls. Or it was because my expectations weren't realistic, in which case it's my fault. That's a healthy soul approach. I have to expect from the get-go, that the body is going to struggle, and criticizing or berating or making fun of it. And people do this all the time. They make fun of themselves. They berate themselves. They criticize themselves. They call themselves fat or ugly or stupid. Oh, I'm so stupid, right? People do it all the time. In American culture, it's ubiquitous. And it's not good for mental health because it's disconnection. That's exactly what it is. It's harshness and disconnection. Now, what about the body? Let's flip it 90 degrees. What's the body going to do? Well, what does it do in order to enter and maintain a state of connection, that is? Well, the soul is a teacher, so the body is a student, like we mentioned, or an athlete to a coach. And this involves two sets of operations, just like the soul, but converse. First, the body has to accept the soul's guidance. And this is not easy, because sometimes the soul is going to ask it to do things that might be slightly beyond its reach, because it has it's separated from physicality, so it can see things that are a little bit ahead. Sometimes also the soul doesn't provide great advice, but the body has to follow, do what it can to follow suit anyway and communicate along the way. And the second thing that the body has to do is to raise issues and communicate clearly to the soul. There's a pattern of communication that the body can engage in that is maladaptive, that does not create connection. And then there's another one where it's just raising issues and expressing its needs to the soul and letting the soul guide it and accepting that guidance. There's a lot of nuance related to communication that we're going to speak about, both in interconnection and an interpersonal connection, and actually in spiritual connection too. Communication is a huge part of how to facilitate connection, or how to create disconnection, frankly. Just to round out more about the body, when the soul approaches the body and says, hey, let's come up with a plan for eating, or for sleeping, or for exercise, or our daily activity schedule, then the body should listen. And that takes commitment. The body has to trust the soul and say, okay, like, my time to wake up is whatever it is, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever it is, and to follow it without second-guessing the judgment. Now, it might not be working out after 2-3 days, that whatever time it is that the body's waking up, in which case it would express to the soul, say, hey, this is the new information. Like, are you sure that 7 a.m. makes sense for us? And whatever the soul decides, though, or whatever the soul comes up with, it has the final say, so to speak. In addition, the body needs to reach out and communicate what's on its mind, though, to the soul. And that's particularly the case when problems come up. When issues come up, the body tends to get overwhelmed and become isolated and not speak, and that is not healthy at all. The when issues come up, that's specifically when we need to reach out to our soul and say, hey, I have a problem. Can we please talk about this? And I literally mean talk about it, and I'll explain what that means in a minute. Now, when this dynamic occurs, when the soul is recognizing that it has a body and it's taking care of it, and when it tolerates its idiosyncrasies with love and patience, and when the body is accepting the soul's guidance, and when it's raising issues and it's expressing its needs to the soul, especially when it's having trouble, when all of that happens, the soul brings forth its own inner potential from the soul as a master teacher, and the body brings forth its master, its potential as a master student, as a fulfilled master student, and they can have a connected life, and then pour that into other relationships, which is really where the fun happens, but we'll get to that in 5 weeks. And we just said, both body and soul, they have unique capabilities, and they can only become real by uniting with the other. Okay. I'm going to give you folks an exercise. I spoke about communication. Communication is essential to facilitate connection in any relationship. And there are many steps in communication, and we'll talk about them in all three domains that comes up. When it comes to interconnection, though, it's a little tricky because most people don't speak to themselves. But it's actually no different. Your body and your soul need to communicate with each other. They have to build connection. And that means learning, A, to communicate at all, and B, to communicate not just effectively, but in a connected way. So the first exercise, therefore, is to have verbal, out loud conversations every day between your body and your soul, and it needs to last no fewer than 3 volleys. Yes, I am a clinical psychologist, and I am licensed in 2 states, actually 3 states, and I'm telling you to talk to yourself. There are no rules regarding the content of the conversation. You can speak about anything with your body and the soul, but it does involve speaking, and I'm not speaking about to yourself. You might not want to do this in public, but I'm sure you'll find a private place that your body and your soul can have a chat. What I mean by 3 volleys is soul, body, soul, body, soul, body, or body, soul, body, soul, body, soul. Hopefully it'll go on longer than that, and we're talking about having one conversation every day, and maybe even more. Hopefully you'll have 2 or 3 conversations, but the minimum is 1. I'll give you some examples of what this could look like. Okay, your soul. So, how are you doing today, body? Well, to be honest, I'm tired, I'm hungry, and I'm a little bit upset about what happened at work. So soul says, you know, it's been a long day, and you need something to eat. How about sushi? You love sushi. And while we're at it, can we chat about what happened on the way to wherever it is that we're going for sushi? What were you thinking? What happened? So the body says, sushi, yes, thank you so much. I'm totally, totally going to get that whatever roll. And then the body opens up. I just can't stand it. Lisa yelled at me again at work. It's so embarrassing. This is literally what the body is saying to the soul. And the soul says, yeah, well, you know, Lisa's been pretty catty lately. It's been really hard for a lot of people. It's totally hard for you. I totally get it. But I wonder what's going on with her. Maybe something's bothering her in her life. And the body says, you know, now that you mention it, I did hear overhear her. She was complaining to someone about her apartment. She has a neighbor who's blasting music in the wee hours of the morning. And you know what? When I lack sleep, I'm pretty catty too. So So that's one example of the body and soul having a conversation. What makes this connected, firstly, is just the fact that they're talking, and that's the goal of the exercise. But what makes it a little bit more than that is that the soul has an agenda, which is to give to the body. It's trying to give to the body physically by giving it food because it's hungry. It's trying to give to the body physically also by giving it some sleep because it knows that it's tired, and it mentioned something about being tired. And it's trying to give to the body emotionally because the body is struggling with its friend Lisa at work, and she's being catty, and the body needs to have a different way of thinking about it, and the soul is trying to provide the body with that. And in this case, the body accepted it, accepted the sushi. It's probably going to go to bed on time, hopefully. And it accepted the guidance about the friend and the different perspective. I'll give you another example, though, one that's not necessarily this is an easier one. Soul, hey, body, how's it going? Body, great. Thanks so much for taking me on a run earlier today. Soul, I had fun, too. It's always great to spend time with you. I guess these guys are really getting along. Body, thanks for saying that. It means a lot to me. Soul, when's our next run? How about tomorrow morning? The body said, great. I'll give you another one. This is one where the body's not accepting the soul's advances, but they're still connected in some way. Body, I'm really, really, really mad. Soul, do you want to talk about it? Body, no, I'm actually too mad to talk about it. Soul, great, maybe we can go for a run then? Body, I'm too mad to go for a run. Soul, well, how about just a walk, maybe around the block? Body, fine, but I'm not talking about it. Soul, no problem as long as we're together. So there the body was able to accept something. The soul negotiated, which was great, and validated, which was also great. And the two of them have some degree of connection. Those are just a couple of examples. Okay. There are two main challenges to the speaking to yourself exercise, to the body-soul, we'll call it body-soul communication, body-soul conversation is what we call it, exercise. One is you might feel awkward about speaking to yourself. Two is that you might have trouble identifying which voice is the soul and which voice is the body. That's the most common, the second one's the most common problem. With regards to feeling awkward about speaking to yourself, well, frankly, when it comes to the Connections seminar, get used to it. There's a lot of stuff in the seminar that is different. And I encourage you, everybody here on the line, to try it. Try it for the duration of the seminar. If you like it and if it's working for you, then you'll continue. And if not, then you won't. But I've done every single one of these exercises in this seminar with at least 100 patients, and myself included. I've made copious use of these exercises. In fact, some of them not enough. And some of them are a little awkward at first, but you'll get over it, and I think you'll feel great. Otherwise, I wouldn't be recommending them. With regards to the second one, having trouble identifying which voice belongs to the soul and which one to the body, do your best and try to proceed even if you get confused. If you have questions, actually, David, I don't know if I asked you this. Do we have a forum for people to be able to ask questions, and then
yes.
I'll be able to. We do. So, how do they do that? They'll write them to you, and
well, yeah, they can email them in, or we can take them live on the call right now.
Better, I think, better for have people email them in because people might have similar questions and stuff like that. So, let's have people email them in to you, and then at the beginning of each session, we'll take up questions from the previous session. I think that's usually the way we do it, because some of the ideas here, this is a general concept with connections, that the more you do it, the more you'll understand it. It's almost like the more your body engages in it, the more your soul will have a conceptual understanding of what goes on. It's an interesting experience, and it's something which is ubiquitous in the practice of connections, and actually in all Musser-based practice, that people have less questions the more that they practice. But nevertheless, if you have questions, I want to hear them. Absolutely want to hear them. So I encourage people, please, to write in their questions. If you're confused about this or any other aspect of it, please to do so, and then we will take them up at the beginning of each session. I just want to make sure we had provisions, so thanks, David. Okay, with regards to who's the body and who is the soul, just one piece of advice there is that the body, again, is a recipient or a student, and the soul is a teacher or a provider. So whoever's trying to provide is the soul, and whoever's trying or needs to receive is the body. And try to keep a consistent line of two voices going and connecting to each other. And enjoy. Also, I'll mention one more thing about body-soul connection. You do speak to yourself already. People often do this in the form of self-criticism in this day and age. The goal here is simply to be aware of when you're doing it and to shift the conversation to create more connection as opposed to berating yourself. And even if you're not the kind of person who habitually berates yourself, there probably is some sort of negative conversation going on. It's just a matter of being more aware of it and harnessing that and moving forward. Okay. There's another thing, and we're basically going to wrap up now. There's another thing, which is charting. I highly recommend charting. Charting is key because it keeps you on track and helps make sure that you're accountable. You're being accountable to yourself primarily and building connection. The chart that I have, which David will distribute, is an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. The first column is the date of the month, and it goes from 1 to 31, in case there are 31 days in the month. The next column is the chart column. The chart column is basically just whether you charted that day. If you chart that day, but you don't do any of the skills, and you're not going to monitor how you're feeling, then that's fine. At least you charted. The chart column is just to note that, yes, I charted on such and such a day. In other words, that you're aware on a daily basis, minimally by checking a box, that you're participating in a webinar, a seminar on connections. And then we have the skills. We have skill 1, 2, and 3. Those will rotate throughout the program. Today you have the first skill. The skill is a 3-volley body-soul verbal conversation out loud once per day. And in the skill number 1 box, which is the next column, you'll either check whether you did it. If you don't do it, don't put an X, don't put no, don't put a 0. Just leave it blank. If you didn't do it, leave it blank, and then you pick up the next day. Skills 2 and 3 don't apply at this point because they are haven't been assigned yet. Next week we're going to pick up skill number 2, then we're going to pick up skill number 3, and then after that we're going to bump off the first skill, today's skill, and then we're going to add another. So you'll be charting the body-soul connect, body-soul conversation for 3 weeks, and then hopefully it'll be just part of your daily life and you won't have to chart it anymore. And we'll go from there. At the end of the chart, there's 3 columns. There's one for worry, stress, and sadness. I had those there because previously when I did this seminar, it was for people who were struggling with worry and stress and sadness. I don't mind if people change those to happiness, connection with my spouse, connection with my kids, sense of interconnection. I don't mind if you change those around. They go off on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being absent, 10 being maximally present, and then you're left with 1 through 9. 1, 2, 3 are low, 4, 5, 6 are medium, 7, 8, 9 are high. So save your 0s and 10s and try to think about it as a, you know, 1, 2, 3 or 4, 5 or 6 or 7, 8 or 9 for each of those 3 last ones. And again, I don't mind people changing those around. You know, in terms of your level of emotional wellness, it means different things to different people, and I don't mind people, you know, being more flexible about that. So we're going to try to get that chart out to you, and I do encourage people to chart every day. I chart myself. I don't use a paper and pen. I use a Google form. I put this on Excel, and I have different exercises that I'm doing at this point. I did all these connections exercises at some point, and then I moved on to other stuff, but some of them I'll probably pick up again as I'm doing this seminar because they're important. But if you want to do it electronically, that's fine. And this is not a requirement of the program, the charting. It's just something I highly, highly recommend.